John 14, 15 through 31 continues our study now of Jesus' teaching to his disciples in the upper room before they went to the Garden of Gethsemane, the night he was betrayed and the night before he died on a cross for sinners like us. I'll read 15 to the end of chapter 14. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here. Let's pray. Father, it's our prayer this morning that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, those who have foresight, who think about the future, usually plan for their departure from one thing or another, but especially their departure even from this world. For example, someone I mentioned a lot, one of my I would consider really a father in the faith through his teaching ministry, R.C. Sproul of Ligonier Ministry. Started it back in 1973. So been at it 40 years. A few years ago, they, you know, all of us, you've been aware of ministries. And of course, even now, we think of Billy Graham's most recent, at age 95, sermon for the world. That if you want your ministry to continue, you must think about the future. R.C. Sproul did so. He has appointed teaching fellows for Ligonier to begin to take some of the load from him that he had done for so many years. His son, R.C. Sproul Jr., Stephen Lawson, Sinclair Ferguson, Robert Godfrey, and Stephen Nichols are thus far been named teaching fellows to carry on his teaching ministry through conferences and books. He's thinking about the future as R.C.'s in his mid-70s, but he's had some health troubles, and they've gone ahead and said, we want to pass on this teaching, that this wonderful teaching God's blessed us with. We never planned this, but let's make sure there are faithful men to carry this on, even if the Lord should call R.C. Sproul Sr. home. Well, our Lord Jesus has told us, told his apostles, told us through them, through this discussion with them, he's going away. But he's actually said that's good news to them. He's told them this is good news. I'm going away, and that's because he's going to send what our passage says verse 16, another helper. Again, in verse 26, another helper. I really don't think I planned this, but God did. In our opening hymn, verse 3, I did choose this because it was Trinitarian. I often do that on our opening hymn, but verse 3, Holy Spirit, we adore thee, paraclete. That's the word, paraclete, that we have as helper. Paraclete and heavenly guest, sent from God and from the Savior, thou hast led us into rest. He says, I'll send another paraclete, or parakletos is the Greek word that we translate in a number of ways, helper being the way we have it here today. Jesus is going away, but he's sending the Holy Spirit to be with us, to be with them. Again, in this case, remember, they've been told that Judas, that one's going to betray him, that one of them's going to deny him, that he's going to go away. It's nighttime now. It is dark. They need Jesus, and he is giving them everything that they need. They don't realize it at the time, but he's filling them with spiritual food. And so today we have another paraclete. Jesus has already been called the helper or the advocate. Now he says, when I go away, I'll send another one. Now the Holy Spirit has already been known about. The scripture has taught about him. He has saved and delivered his people for centuries. But in a new way, he is going to come to those in the new covenant community. So let's celebrate. Let's see what this teaches us about the Holy Spirit. Just a few things. There's so much. We're going to look at a few of them today. Number one, in verses 15 to 22, the Holy Spirit confirms the believer's place in the family of God. He's told them he's going away. He's just recently, in the last time's sermon, ended saying, telling them about prayer and about praying in his name and according to his will. He now says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, and I'll ask the Father, and he'll give you another helper to be with you forever. He says in 18, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. He says, the end of 19, because I live, you also will live. You'll know that, this is verse 20. Remember, I said the Holy Spirit confirms the believer's place in the family of God. Verse 20 says, in that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. And then again, he says this other underlying, it's not the main theme, there's this theme of obedience to his commands. Whoever has my, and of course his love. Look, if we love him, we'll obey his commands. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them is he who loves me, and he will be loved. He who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. One of the purposes of the Holy Spirit, and one of his roles, is confirming our relationship with God through Christ. He's a deposit guaranteeing that relationship. We're told that, again, though we don't have a full-fledged doctrine of the Trinity worked out yet. We look at the whole scripture from Genesis to Revelation to see that. But here he is teaching us something of that. We have the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit filled. This passage is filled with them. I'll ask the Father, and he'll give you another helper, capital H, or another advocate, to be with you forever. There we have the work of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit with us. And I said this, he confirms our place in the family, because that's the tone and the wording here is very personal. To be with you. You know him. That's the end of 17. You can look there, the end of 17. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. What a marvelous thing. God, in the person of the Holy Spirit, comes to dwell within us. That is true fellowship, or koinonia. God within us, by His Spirit. And the Holy Spirit confirms our place as sons and daughters of God. He reminds us, He gives us that sense of belonging that we each need in this world. A place in which we so often feel lost, feel alienated, feel really just like we're off by ourselves. He says, no, you're never by yourself. Never. Never. And so the Holy Spirit, he's personal. He dwells within us. Every single person who knows Christ has the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. He secures within this. He secures our life. He gives us life. In the middle of 19, because I live, you also will live. Jesus is going to die, but he's going to rise again. His disciples are going to see him. He's going to appear to them. John's going to show this at the end of the book. He's going to die and rise from the dead and appear to them. When he goes away, he's going to send his Spirit to be within them. Now, I'll just mention, he does say, the world will not see him. Yes, verse 17. Whom the world cannot receive, it neither sees him nor knows him. We live by faith. The world can't see nor know the Spirit. That is the world in moral rebellion against God. He's a part of the Trinity. And the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bring us to be a part of God's family. Those outside the family don't have the family traits. Those outside the family aren't concerned with repentance, with conviction, deep conviction for what is right, for righteousness, for justice and truth. He's the Spirit of truth, after all. But this Holy Spirit comes and secures our life, secures our continuing spiritual life. I'll be with you forever through every day that we walk on this earth. He secures our resurrection life. And so with him dwelling within us, he does remind us. And each of these points today reminds us, if we love him, we keep his commandments. There's a relationship there between our love for him. And I think, we could ask the question, why so often are Christians not happy, not filled with joy, not even in the midst of adversity doing well? Sometimes they are. I think the times that we're not. We're not applying, we're not appropriating the fact that the Holy Spirit dwells within us. And that with him, what are his fruits? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The Holy Spirit confirms the believer's place in the family of God. He also, the Holy Spirit, number two, the Spirit of truth, brings the believer illumination and application of God's truth. This is 23 to 26. Again, he says, if anyone loves me, in this way he phrases it, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Obviously, that continues the first point. Our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. 26. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Now for them, let's think about this. How did this immediately began to take place for them after Christ's resurrection, his ascension, the coming of the Spirit at Pentecost? At that time, the scripture consisted of the Old Testament, the Law and the Prophets and the Psalms. But during that time, the Spirit came, and what did he give us? What are we reading and teaching from today? A gospel. The Spirit did come and remind them of all that he had taught them. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John wrote it down for us. He later called Paul on the Damascus Road, and Paul began to write letters to churches inspired by God so that we would have teaching on how to live and how to know Him and how to operate as His people. That's what the Holy Spirit did immediately for them. And now for us, He doesn't give us new revelation, but He does take this word and He applies it to our lives. He brings it to our remembrance. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He brings the believer illumination and application of God's truth. Are you hiding God's word? This is real simple. This point's going to be rather short. Are you hiding God's word in your heart? Because the time's going to come when you're going to need it. And you know what the Holy Spirit does? He brings it to your mind and to your heart and into your life when you need it. It seems the pastor's supposed to say, the Sunday school teacher's supposed to say, read the Bible, memorize scripture, and pray. But you know why the pastor or the Sunday school teacher says that? Because it's true. We need this hidden in our heart. So we'll be ready, cultivated, prepared for the growth. In the movie Facing the Giants, a movie about a Christian school football team really doing poorly, they hope that if you haven't seen it, we ought to just show it for the whole church. It's a great movie. But the coach kind of turns his life back to the Lord, and he inspires his team to do so, to start playing for God's glory. But in the middle of all this, there's another theme in the school itself. And there is a man who for years, maybe decades, walks up and down the hall, touching each locker and praying for the students whose lockers those are. Day after day after day, for years and years. And he's actually watched, he's watched the ups and downs of the spiritual life of this place. But in the midst of this kind of thing going on with the football coach and the football team, he senses that God is going to answer this prayer, all these decades of praying for the students that come through, and obviously for the faculty and the coaches. So he goes to the coach and says, I want you to, I don't remember the exact words, but he basically says, I sense God is going to work in you. You know, in the middle of all this, during a Bible class, all these students begin confessing their sins to one another and coming to know the Lord and repenting and turning back. He's talking to the coach, and what he says to him, as the coach doesn't really know what to make of him coming and telling him that he thinks God's going to do something in his life, and he says, "Well, what do I do?" The man tells him a story. He says there were two farmers who both prayed for rain, but only one of them went out and tilled his field and planted seed so that it was ready when the rain came. God says to us, prepare, prepare for rain. Read my word, meditate on it. And of course, in this case, prepare for storms as well, so that we are prepared for God to work. God will work in us. God will bring His word to bear in every situation in which you need it. Third and finally, we see in this passage that the Holy Spirit brings peace to the believer through Christ's victory over sin, death, and the devil. 27 to 31. He moves to this thinking of peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. He continues, but he's going to go away. But he's going to leave with them peace. Now in that day, he would have been speaking of peace or shalom, a very rich, robust word that tells us of prosperity, of welfare, of soundness, of robustness of life, of fullness of life. I'm going to leave you peace, he says. I'm going to leave you calmness in adversity. I'm going to leave you joy, even in difficulty. I'm going to leave you self-control and modesty, even in your prosperity, I'm going to give you peace, my peace. Why is it my peace? It's his peace because he gives it through his own purchasing of it through his blood, purchased by his own substitution on the cross in their behalf. Peace that he gives at the appointment of God the Father, to whom he is returning. He's going to bring peace. And he gives us that peace through his Holy Spirit as well. And this is true peace. This isn't peace. This isn't a peace treaty with a terrorist state. This is peace that is secure. Peace with God, the one against whom we've sinned, peace because he's accomplished salvation for us. Peace that takes us through each of the days of our lives. In verse 29, it says, I've told you all this before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. Satan is coming for one last try to turn Jesus off the path of obedience. He fails. And Jesus earns peace. You know, back we, particularly during the Reformation Day, which was, of course, October 31st, also Halloween, it's also Reformation Day. We went, during that week, we went to a Reformation Day party at a friend of ours church in Brent. And he got us studying about Nicholas Ridley and Hugh Latimer, two of those during the English Reformation who were burned at the stake for their faith. And one of them, as he was just praying and praying and praying beforehand that he would stand firm to the end, even when he was being burned. And as they were there being burned, Hugh Latimer turned to Ridley in the midst as they were in Acts. As it turns out, it was a slow, it happened slowly, and they suffered more than was even intended at a burning at the stake. But thinking of a passage in 1 Corinthians where it says, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, let all that you do be done in love. Latimer turns and says, play the man, Master Ridley. We shall this day light such a candle, by God's grace in England, as I trust, shall never be put out. Peace. That's peace, folks. Rejoicing in what's going to follow your faithfulness, even as you go back or return to be with the Lord. And brothers and sisters, we can have that peace because it was earned by Christ. One last thing that I just want to point out. The end of verse 30, or in the middle it says, the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me. You could say, he's got nothing on me. Jesus could say that. The devil has nothing on me. I do as my Father commanded. The reason the devil has nothing on him is because he never sinned. He fulfilled the law on our behalf. It's because the devil has nothing on him, and we turn to him in faith, that the devil has nothing on us. Do y'all know that? The devil has nothing on you if you're united to him. So when the devil says to you, you're nothing, or God can never really love you, you keep messing up. No, the devil's got nothing on you if you're united to him. Because his righteousness is perfect. He's blameless, the Lamb without blemish, the light of the world. Trust in him. Trust in him. He died for us. He suffered in our place. So when God looks at us, because his Spirit has come to dwell within us, he sees him. And he's pleased. Remember the Holy Spirit. He's the third person of the Trinity. He's God. He dwells within every one of you who have trusted in Christ.